Blog Talk Radio.
Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God, and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow, by revealing to the world the infinite love of God, that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God, it was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man. Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love Him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. End of chapter 1.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for joining Have Been Light Ministry. And we want to give God praise and glory tonight as we are on here giving Him thanks for this prayer line and for each and everyone that joined us. So let us begin with a word of prayer and ask God for His Holy Spirit. Oh, gracious, loving, kind Father, we come before You, Lord, just to thank You, Lord, for this prayer line. To thank You, Father, for the blessing of brothers and sisters that come to join us and asking You, Father, even those that join us from all around the world, Lord Father, Japan, the Netherlands, Korea, Canada, so many other countries, Lord Father, as they come to this prayer line, Lord, I'm asking that You bless us tonight with the word of God and that each and everyone may understand what is said on this prayer line. And Lord, let it not be not one of us, but it's Your Holy Spirit that lead and guide all of us to the understanding and to share God's loving word on this prayer line. Father, we thank You so much for this prayer line and also blessing us tonight that we can come again on the prayer line to praise You. And everyone that will come to share, Lord, we have brothers and sisters that have not been on here, but we thank You for bringing them back because they're going to come at Your time, not our time, but we got to keep praying for them and lifting them up. And may this prayer line, Lord, glorify You with all that we do. Oh, we thank You. And we pray this, and we pray, Father, also, I don't want to forget, we lift up Your word tonight, asking that You, Lord, bless Your word as the brother will come to bring up the word tonight, Brother Akeem. And then also, we asking You to send Your Holy Spirit to bless us tonight also. Thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I would like to read the last day event. Amen. It's not that often, but I read the board now and then. And it's coming from Isaiah 44, chapter 44 and verse 22. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud that thy transgression and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Here is where thousands fail. They do not believe that Jesus pardoned them personally, individually. They do not take God at His word. John 1, 1 John, the 1 and verse 9, and Job 3, 27 and 28. It is the privilege of all who comply with this condition to know for themselves that pardon is freely extended for every sin. Ezekiel 36:25. Put away the auspicious that God promised, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, that God promised are not meant for you. They are forever repentance, transgression. 1 John 3:16, Luke 15:10, and grace have been provided through Christ to be brought by ministering angels to every believer soul. Hebrews 1:13 and 14, Psalms 103 and verse 20 and 21. None are so sinful that they cannot find strength, purity, and righteousness in Jesus, who died for them. 1 John 2:1 and 2. He is waiting to strip them of their garments stained and polluted with sin, and to put upon them the white robe of righteousness. Revelation 7:13 and 17. He bids them live and not die. Psalm 118:17. Steps to Christ, page 52. All these scriptures and Steps to Christ books is given in this this reading. So brothers and sisters, I hope that you got it, because it's quite a few scriptures, and I just want to thank God for his reading. Amen. So we're going to begin to open the line, as our brothers and sisters have pressed one already. So we're going to open the first line for 518-951. Your line is open. You can get where you're calling from.
Good evening. Good evening, my dear beloved. This is Sister Powers, and I just want to thank God, welcome everyone, thank God for the reading. I was just here wondering and, you know, just asking the Lord to continue to pour his blessings upon us. I went on the line, my dear Sister Leela, I was going to call you, and when I had 7 o'clock here, it was 7 o'clock, the line was not open, right? And I just asking, you know, I don't know if the time have been changed or what is happening. But we just ask that we all here, Sister Leola and myself and you and the team, that maybe, you know, we don't want to have the line not open the time that is used to, and then people will come off and then don't join the line. So we just want to make it clear, you know, to our callers and also the viewers, the right time, because we had a time for 7 o'clock and, you know, 7 to 9, and, you know, would like to come up with that standard, you know, that we all can be doing. Because a while ago, I really think that we wasn't going on, and I didn't have my computer to find out if you had a breakdown or what. So I just want to thank God that the line have been open, and that, you know, we look forward for the line. It is a blessing for everyone that they can really come and share the goodness of God in their, with their songs and their scripture reading and also prayer. So that is just a little, you know, take hold. I will just ask that, you know, we will try to find, you know, the timing, and that we will be on the line, the special time, because there are callers, people call and ask what happened to the line and all these things. Right? But I'm so thankful, Sister Leela, that, you know, we are here once more giving thanks and praise. I am in the island in Jamaica, and I am telling you, my dear beloved, God is so good. We have rain actually the whole day. But I was on the line, this, on the phone this morning with one of our dear sisters that you, as a part of this line. And, you know, for around over a year, I haven't heard from her. And I was talking to her, and she was inviting, you know, other people to me that I am here. And I met on the line, not face to face, I met a new sister who's supposed to come to us, you know, to check me out sometimes this week, coming week that we can make some plans in evangelism. And that's a blessing, my dear sister. So despite of what, you know, is happening, and even though, you know, we can say even though things is happening all around us, God's people is still out there doing evangelism for Christ. You know, I must may also mention that, you know, the Lord had impressed me to with these booklets and tracts and prayer, you know, that is written out for me to have a book club. And my dear beloved, the book club started Friday, you know, Friday, and I think I have 15 people came in, both big and children. They are going to school. The children are at school. Come in, and they took books. I gave out. People passed by Friday. They write down their name that they can get some booklets and tracts. And it has been going on good. Also have been helping, you know, the children came today, this morning, because I also said we were going to have a giveaway. But Sister Leola and my team, I slept away eventually, and because of the rainy season, I said I would not be able to put out anything. But your children came, your children, if you saw them, and they came, I was able to give them some supplies, some baby pampers, and also some little food supplies that was here. I was able to give them, and they appreciated the parents, and you know, a little toy that I have, I gave them, and I have some goodies, my dear beloved, and I packed them out in bags, and I give the children. And this family was coming from church, and my niece-in-law, you know, came down, and we had a good chat. I was able to give them some goodies. And she invited the lady, one of her friends, is a Sunday church worshiper. She and her two children, and they came down and, you know, welcomed me, and I gave praises to them that they came, and also was sharing the Sabbath. So she said she know a little about the Sabbath. Oh, well, I told her I will give her some study about the Sabbath because it is very important. So I'm asking you to pray for that family so that God will continue to work through them. They are going to Sunday church, but you know that they are not getting the true message that the people that God has given unto us. So I will just offer a word of prayer. Now just pray for me also here, my dear beloved. I need a prayer if there is no other thing. Another thing I can say or other, you know, wants or need, I need a prayer from my brothers and sisters. So I just have a short prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for this line. Thank you for the Oster, Lord. Thank you for the callers. Thank you, dear Father, for everyone who joined to make up this line and the opportunity that you have given unto us in studying your words, Lord. We want to thank you. And when we look at the life, Lord Jesus, sanctification, and when we look upon the life of David, Lord Jesus, and Daniel, Lord, and the life that they lived, especially Daniel, dear Lord, who prayed 3 times and who prayed for Israel, Lord. And we are here praying just as David prayed, dear Father, for the sin that he had committed, Daniel, the sin of the community, the sin of the nation, the sin of what's going on over the world. He prayed and he organized with the Lord. And the Lord heard his prayer. And one great thing we can say, dear Lord, after the Lord heard his prayer, he sent the angel Gabriel to him, that Gabriel come back and told him, Lord, call what the Lord has said. Lord, this evening, we, your children, come to you. And we have been praying, Lord, praying for our family members, praying for our brothers, praying for our sisters, praying for our community. And we are asking you, Lord, just as how Gabriel came back, Lord Jesus, to Daniel and tell him everything, Lord, and And do we here, Lord, can be praying just like Daniel and asking you, Lord, to know that you will hear our cry and you will answer our plea. So we ask you to pour your Holy Spirit upon this line. Continue to pour your blessings upon each one of us. We lift up Sister Carla and her family, Sister Leola and her family, Sister Powell and her family, Sister Stephanie and her family, Brother Rick, Brother Ray, Sister Barnaby, Sister Consinelli, Lord, Sister Brenda, Brother John, the children, them, Lord Jesus, Brother O'Neill and his family, Brother Eli, Sister Tamiko and her family, and our extended family, Lord, as she prayed and as we prayed, we know you are able. And we lift up this line to you, Father. We want to thank you, Lord, because this is how you show us and tell us, Lord, as we have our morning devotion and our evening devotion. This is a part, Lord, of our evangelizing and to have a personal connection with you. So as we wait upon you, dear Father, for the message this evening, we lift up all the speakers, Lord. We lift up St. Brother Akin. We lift up Brother Ricardo, Brother Brian. We want to thank you for St. Brother Richardson, Lord Jesus, who was on the line Friday, present the message and said he will be back, Lord. We just want to thank you for answering prayer. Bless us, we pray, and we come boldly to the throne, Lord, for to hear your message. So we ask you to bless the speaker as he presents his message, that the words that he said, we will get fresh bread from heaven, and we all will enjoy. Thank you again. Thank you for everything that you promise us, Lord Jesus, and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for the prayer. And also thank you so much for praying for those that are missing, and also these our brothers and sisters, especially you said that you met a lady. You met this lady on this prayer line that come into me too?
Yes, yes, this lady on the prayer line that we spoke to this morning. She used to be on this line.
Oh, okay. And what's the name, may I ask?
I will call her dear, though.
Oh, okay, okay. I understand. But I just want to give God the praise that, you know, that someone was on this prayer line and was able to call you down in Jamaica to be able to come and assist you, Sister Power, in your ministry. What a blessing for someone to come and join you. We are so happy to hear that. And we're going to lift you all up in prayer later in when we have our prayer. Amen? So thank you, Sister Paul, for coming and sharing with us and that prayer.
The one that we used to be on the prayer line, come to our camp meeting. She's the one who invited another person from another area to come and meet me. And we have a good chat with the conversation, and you know, she will be coming from Westmoreland to meet me on Tuesday.
Praise God, praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, we hear how Sister Powell will be meeting us, another sister at our house there in Jamaica, and they will be able to set up, I guess, ministry. She will be helping Sister Powell, so we need to keep that in prayer. That God bless with the finance, he bless everything that they put their hands on, because it needs so much there, and the work that she's doing with food, clothing, building, providing things for babies. You know, that's a whole lot of work there. When it comes to that type of work, you need the money, you need the finance to be able to provide these things. Because when you look at the need and you just say, Lord, how can I just do it for so many? I know that you will. I know that you will provide.
but we just got to wait on him and trust and believe that he will open some doors. So I thank God for that, Sister Power. Amen. So we're going to open the line we have. I believe that's, give me just a second. Amen. We open the next line for 518-650. Your line is open. And brothers and sisters, you can press 1. We have time that our brothers and sisters can share. So 518-650, you can go ahead and begin your testimony or prayer.
Hello to everyone. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. And I just want to thank God for his keeping care, for his tender mercy, for his love, for his protection, for everything he has been doing for me. I will trust him with all my heart, and I will lean not unto my own understanding. In all my ways, I will acknowledge him, because he will direct my path. I just want to give him all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Please pray for me and my family so that God may take care of us. I will sing of Jesus' love, sing of him, who first loved me for he left bright words above and died on Calvary. I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give me a side that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depth of love divine, earth or heaven can never know how that seems. As dark as mine can be made as white as snow, I will sing of Jesus' love, endless praise. My heart shall give me a sight that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Nothing good for him I've done. How could he such love bestow, Lord, I own? My heart is one. Help me now, my love, to show. I will sing of Jesus' love and best praise. My heart shall give me a sign that I might live. I will sing his love to me. And I will read Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth me shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me that by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. The Lord shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. O Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, Lord, for your keeping care, for your tender mercy, for your love, for your protection, for your guidance. Day by day, O God, and with this passing moment, since I find to meet my child here, trusting only in thy wise instrument, I have no cause for worry or for fear. Because my God is a good God, he's a real God, he's a mighty God, he's a powerful God, His awesome God is more than words can explain. He's more than worthy to be praised, oh God. Lord, I give you all the honor. I give you all the glory. I give you all the praise, oh God, that is due unto your name. Into your hand I put myself this evening, Lord. There's nothing I can do but tell you thanks for all you have been doing. In the past, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Lord, I put all my family into your hand, my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters, all my family. I put them before you this evening. Please, Jesus, have your way, dear God, and let your will be done. I'm asking you to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing so that they may not have room enough to receive it. Oh, God, I put everyone on this prayer line along with your family into your hand, oh, God. We are weak, but you are strong. Oh, God, hold us with your mighty hand. Bread of heaven, oh, God, feed us till we want no more. We love you, Lord. We honor and adore. We magnify and we praise you because you are more than words can explain. Have your way, Lord. Take over, Jesus. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You're a mighty and a powerful God. Jesus, please, Lord. Please, Father. We love you. We adore you. We magnify you. Praise you. Exalt you. We lift you up and we give you thanks because your name is worthy to be praised. You are everything, oh God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Father, be with every mother, every father, every child all over the world in diverse places. So much hungry, so much hungry, oh God. So much killing. Lord, so much things are going on in the world. Only you know. But God, your coming is near, so help us to be ready, watching, waiting for you. Because you will come and you will not tarry, God. You are coming for your chosen people. So Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to trim our lamp and keep it burning. Not to be like the five foolish virgins, oh God, but to be like the five wise who trim their lamp, their oil, and keep it burning. Because you are coming. Father, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Open shelter for the homeless, Lord. Freely you receive and freely you give. There's a God who never changes. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you say, it lasts forever, oh God. What you do, it well done. So, Father, help us to be ready. Ready, looking, waiting for you, dear God, because your coming is sure. Help us to be faithful to you. Do what you would do, Lord. Whatever you do, want us to do. Call us, oh God. Let we follow. Lead us and let we follow. Lord, we want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. Never leave us to be found wanting, oh God. Supply our needs according to your riches in glory. Lord, you sit there high and you look low on your people. How much sin we have committed, oh God. Please forgive us of our sin. Wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mold and fashion us into your likeness. And make us into what you want us to be. Be with the speaker tonight as we break the bread of life, dear God. Let the speaker not be seen, but let you be seen. And all, everything come from your throne. So Lord, thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Lord, your ministry, oh God, is all over the world. So each one of one who are carrying out your ministry, oh God, let everything be successful. Father, she's supported in Jamaica and she's doing her work. You have sent her to on her journey to do what she has to do, Lord. Help it to be successful and whatever she do. Let it be a blessing. Bless those who are here working with, oh God, and help them to cooperate so that everything may be done according to your will. Continue to bless and to guide, to take control, and to let everything be done your way. I pray and I give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. In thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bonaby. I will not linger because I got the board. Praise God, for my brothers and sisters are on the board of full, and we got the hands up, and we need to open every line by God's grace. So we want to thank Sister Bonaby for the song, the prayer, and also for the scripture reading. So it's such a blessing that we have her here and that she's able to do that. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line, and we're going to ask that you be a little brief because we have a few hands up. So your line is open, 857-505. Amen. You can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, everyone on this line. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I like to thank God because God is good. He's merciful God. He's an awesome God. He's worthy to be praised. I like to praise him because he's a mighty God. I have a prayer request. My prayer request is to lift up my mom in prayer, Sister Miola. My mom needs a lot of prayer. I'm praying for my family members. I'm praying for individuals, Sister Miola, and Sister Miola, I'm praying for Brother Javel that God will, you know, that God will, you know, that God will make him apologize. God, he will apologize to God first, Sister Miola, and then after he apologized to God first, Sister Miola, he will apologize to me second. And Sister Miola, just like Sister Benley say, just give him a whole month and wait and be patient. Just like Sister Tamiko and everyone, just like Sister Tamiko gave me, how you say that, Sister Miola, counselor, like give him a whole month that give him a whole month that God will make him, you know, apologize to me.
Amen.
Yeah, give
Amen.
Him a whole month.
Brother.
Amen. And I'm waiting
Amen.
On that. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Eli. Yes, you just got to be patient because God worked with all of us in his timing. And he says he's patient. If God's patient enough to wait on us, we have to be patient also. So we're going to go to the next line. We thank you, Brother Eli, for joining us and bringing those requests to the Lord. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, 843-206. Your line is open.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. Praise God. My name is Sister Tamiko from Florida. So I am so grateful to be here tonight, and I just want to give the Lord praise and honor and glory because it belongs to him. I thank him for bringing us to another new week. I'm so grateful to be here this evening, and I thank him for the safe travel and mercies that he's given for my daughter and for all of us on this call, for our family members, our children, and our husbands and loved ones. It's such a blessing. So I'd like to read a scripture from Psalms 130, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doeth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than that watch for the morning." Verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." And verse 8, "And he shall redeem Israel from all iniquities." So this is bringing out that we should wait on the Lord. Whatever situation we are going through, let us all just wait on the Lord, because the Lord has the final say, and he is in control, and he will always do what is best for his children. So I thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. I love you all, and I'm asking also for prayer requests for my mom, Dorothy, for my children, for my grandchildren, and I'm also asking for prayer for all of my beloved brothers and sisters on this line, that all of you will be blessed with endless blessings and covered under the blood of Jesus. Thank you so much for opening my line. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Sister Leola, you're muted. We didn't hear anything you said, but I guess you were opening my line.
Yes,
good evening.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. So I want to thank Sister Tamika once again and for her scripture reading. And amen. Amen, Sister Carla. So you can go ahead. I'm sorry. I was muted.
Yes. Uh-huh. Amen. Thank you for opening up my line. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Just thanking the Lord for a safe journey, mercy, home. I am back home, and I just thank – oh, Nicholas is calling me now. I just please open my line. Let me answer this call and open my line again, please.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go to the next line. It's 95232. And sisters and brothers, as you be patient, I will get to you. 95232, your line is open, and you can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for watching over us last night, waking us up this morning. I want to thank him because he's a loving God and an on-time God. I just want to read a script starting with devotion prayer. Dear Lord, we never cease in worship. We praise your name for the mercy you bestow upon us, and we are grateful for your iniquity. Blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh God, we just thank you for your blessings that you poured upon us. And we thank you for watching over us. We thank you for many, Lord. And we just ask you to continue watching over us.
Excuse me, y'all. My tongue is tired. I can't even speak. Lord, Advent Light Ministry, all our brothers and sisters on and off the line, all those that are missing and all those that are sick in the hospital, in the nursing home. We want to pray for those outside, those on the street. And the board, wherever they may be, I pray for my family, myself. We want to pray for those wherever they may be, Lord. We just want to pray for each and everyone. Pray for Sister Power, where she's visiting Jamaica. We want to pray that she's doing okay and a safe trip home. We thank for Sister Carla making it back safe. And we just pray for all our other brothers and sisters traveling and coming back. So we just want to thank God for this night, and everyone have a blessed evening. Amen. Brother John.
Decisions in my mind. I was telling everyone I was thinking about how things come up day to day. And just know that is a big difference from my thoughts. The things come up day to day. Some decisions I made quickly back then, I just would make a quick one, do this and quick to do that. And now, since I found God in my heart and things like that, and learning the word more and more about our Heavenly Father and things. And how we should carry ourselves. I know that my decisions have became a lot wiser. So I'm thanking God for that. I don't make them really quick. I'm thankful for my decisions now. It's so fast back then. Just right away, I snap a finger, I do something. Now it's like, wait a minute, let me think of this first. Well, I think I should do it this way and be more better. And I know if I take my time with decisions, things in life work out for the best. So just sharing that with everyone. If you was like me, more of a quick thinker and and a quick doer. And a lot of things don't work out too well for you. Just give me, you know, some advice, like just kind of slow it down and make a decision slow. And after you find out they're good decisions and you realize that it's a good decision, then you can move fast on them though, before they God get away. So God give us the thoughts in our head to take our time and make all those blessings come to God. You know, our Heavenly Father, Jesus. So that's all I have to say. You know. Thank God for that. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother John, for coming on to share, and Sister Brenda for sharing. So thank you guys for just being faithful on the prayer line. So I'm just thanking the Lord for my brothers and sisters. I've had one that dropped that I really wanted to open the line, but hope they call back. But also pray that my brothers and sisters can stick with us tonight, because Brother Akeem is bringing a powerful message. So stick with us. And I'm going to read something since everyone has pressed one. I wanted to share this. And this in Revelation chapter 13. And I'm just going to read these three verses. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And who is it talking about? It's talking about the beast. But the Bible says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Sisters and brothers, that is powerful. When we are tested and when that mark of the beast in place, there will be things that's going to happen. And all I can say is pray you turn nobody in, or we have to kill nobody, because God says at that time he's going to take care of us. Bible says he, because I remember the war, some that had war, you know, they was in the war, and they, this didn't happen with Solomon and David, but the Bible did say it, if you kill somebody, well, then you're going to be killed. And the Bible telling us in those days, we have to have faith in Christ. So we cannot kill. He say, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. So if you give me up, or if I give Sister Power up to the law or to the beast and tell beast, I know where Sister Power at. I'm going to tell the beast where she is. And if I do that, well, then the Bible say I will go into captivity also. I will be captured. So we have to be in prayer, sisters and brothers. Or even if we kill, then if we kill somebody because somebody trying to kill me, you know, those days, God said you have to trust him. Have faith. And it says at the end, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we got to have faith in Christ, that Christ's going to fight our battle. Amen. So we're going to open the line for the rest of our brothers and sisters. And we're going to open, hold on just a second, 518-744. We're opening your line. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister. Yes, thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Wayne, New York. And I was just here listening, and what a blessing to be on. Sister, I really appreciated that reading that we had tonight, Steps to Christ. It was just a beautiful reading, and it just reminded me of a verse. She was talking about how God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And Jesus did not die for us because the Father would love us more. Jesus died because the Father sent him to die for us because he loved us that much. And First Corinthians, I believe, let me look here real quick here. First Corinthians 9:15. I just had it here. Second Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that gift to us was Jesus. And Jesus offers a gift to us, which is salvation. And oh, what a blessing that is for each one of us. Otherwise, there would be no need to be unsaved. So I'm just thanking him today, sister, for his unspeakable gift to me, which is his son, who offers me salvation and eternal life. He offers it to each one of us who believe and follow him. So I just want to lift up my family, my children, grandchildren, my wife, especially Ashley. I haven't heard much from her. She's doing better, but I still haven't heard much from her. So please keep her in prayer, and we will keep all my brothers and sisters in prayer, Sister Powell down in Jamaica, Sister Panico down in Florida. I know she's always praying for mom, brother Eli, always praying for his mom and Betty Duvall. So let's keep each one of them in prayer, and please remember me. Thank you very much, Sister. Open the line.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing that with us. And that God love for man, when you was talking about the sacrifice, I usually play that because it just reminds me God and what he done for us, you know, the love he gave us and what he's still doing for us. And even as I just read this right here in Revelation chapter 13, brothers and sisters, we have to have the patience. And right now, we got to be praying. We got to be praying that God help us. It says in verse 9, it says, if any man have an ear, you see, that's a very serious saying that. He says, any man have an ear, let him hear. So please hear what God wants to tell you. So thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing that. And we're going to go back to Sister Carla because I know she wanted to share. So we're going to go back to Sister Carla right quick. Amen. So Sister Carla, we open in your line, 423-635. Your line is open. Are you there?
I'm here. I just came back. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Good timing. Good timing. Yes, brothers and sisters. I just thank the Lord for each and every one of you for praying for Nicholas. He just called me. I got it, you know, sometimes answer when he calls because he doesn't have his phone on all day. And he just, when he gets break, he gives me a call and he's going to be heading out tomorrow. But I left yesterday, and it was a blessing to see him. And we just got to keep our young people in prayer. He's doing well by God's grace. And, you know, I just have to, you know, when I left, give him a big hug and tell him, you know, I love him and Jesus love him and we're praying for him and, you know, to be steadfast, to pray in all that he do and, you know, to pray and ask God for wisdom and understanding and that he will be based, you know, somewhere close by Hawaii, I think Puerto Rico, they have Seattle or somewhere. So in January, he'll know more. So I just thank the Lord again for that. And as in 1 John 3:22 said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us command. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abide in us by the Spirit which he has given unto us. So let us be faithful unto God. Let us keep his commandment. Let us do all those things that he has given us command to do so that we can be set apart and we can be a spectacle here, and others will come to us for question and we will have the answer. We just have to be faithful. We have to read and study, and we have to be God's disciple to our children, our family, our friends, our neighbors. So again, I thank my brothers and sisters for their love and their faithfulness and their prayers. And may we continue to be steadfast and to keep each other in prayer, because we know rough days are ahead of us. We don't know the hour of Jesus coming or the hour of our returning, but we know there's going to be a time as never before. And to get through that, we have to be on the solid foundation that will not shake, because everything around us was going to shake. 10,000 upon 10,000 is going to fall at our right and our left, but it shall not come near us and our children. So we have to keep these promises, and we have to pray, and Jesus is going to see us through. Brothers, let us cleanse our soul temple from all defilement. So again, thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. God bless.
Sister Carla, can you offer us a prayer by God's grace right now?
Yes, amen. Sure. Just a general prayer, a prayer for everyone that's on?
Pray for everyone that's on, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let us pray, brothers and sisters.
Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening. So keep our hearts in tune.
Kind and loving Father, as we come before you, Lord, thanking you for another day. We're on the second day of the week, because another day have started at sunset. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind. We thank you for health and strength. Lord, we're still here upon the face of the earth to give you praise and glory and honor, and to tell others about your soon coming and the preparation that needs to be done. Help us to be victorious and overcome all these sins that so easily beset us. Lord, you know the heartaches. You know the pain, you know the challenges, you know the temptation of each one of my brothers and sisters, their family members, the young adults within our family, within our churches. We lift them up before you. Sometimes they don't know what they're doing, Lord, but like Joel, every morning and evening he made a sacrifice for his children. And we know Satan was angry with him, and he came against his children and his family. Let us not, those female or male, not be like his wife that tell him to curse God, and she did not have a relationship with God, but we know that Job did, Lord. Help us to truly have a true relationship with you, to have our evening and our morning sacrifice coming before you with thanksgiving and prayer. You know, the mothers, the children here on the prayer line, we ask that you will bless them and take care of him, Lord. Bless the speaker also. Be with him in a special way, his family, his ministry, Lord. Be with all that's on and their prayer requests is spoken and unspoken, Lord. You said we are the apple of your eyes. We are peculiar. We're precious. And we claim those promises because you would not lie as men. Whatever you said is true. And we look forward for your soon coming. Prepare our hearts, our home, for your coming, that we will be found without sin, without guile within our mouth, that we will be holy and righteous and set apart for holy purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for this prayer line. Thank you for this special ministry that you have given us together and separately, as we are in our neighborhood, our community, our churches, our schools, our work, wherever we are, that we will minister to those around us, and we will pray without ceasing because many are suffering. We pray for the sick. We pray for those that are homeless, those that are jobless,
those that don't know where their next meal is coming from, we lift them up right now, and we ask that you will bless them. Bless us again tonight that we will receive a special blessing from your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We're gonna have a young lady, Miss Phyllis, but I'm going to pray. She's coming back on, but I'm just going to lift up the other prayers. She's not on yet, but she's coming on. So let me lift up prayers to our Father, which art in heaven. Lord Father, and I agree with the prayers that Sister Carla has prayed for our brothers and sisters. And also, Father, as we are here lifting up one another to you, Lord, we lift up, Lord, this prayer line to you, Father, asking that you see each heart and that each one of us, Lord, we need deliverance. We need deliverance from self. We need deliverance from anything that's so easily to beset us. So, Heavenly Father, as you leading and guiding us today, tomorrow, throughout the week, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would tug at our heart, Lord, that we may be going in the wrong direction or we may not need to turn here, Lord, to keep us from any hurt, harm, or danger, accidents, or anything, Father. And we just pray and lift, especially Brother Rick, he goes out building and on top of these houses. Father, we lift up our brother to you. We lift up our, he's our clerk for the prayer line. Father, all the things that Brother Rick do for us on his prayer line, Father, we lift him up to you, Father, asking that you keep him and bless him, Lord, Father, as he's the chairman also on the prayer line, Father. He has a many jobs. The job he's doing is not easy work, Father, because he's a lead others, helping others to do work on his job, Father. And we pray that you keep them all safe and protected, Father, as he works on his mother's home, as he works on others' home, Father. Give him wisdom and bless him, Father, while he going to and fro, getting up and down on houses. Father, keep him from any hurt, harm, or danger. And then, Father, we also lift up Sister Power, Lord, Father. We know there's a mighty work, Lord. Sometime we saw that Jesus, when this demonic come, he was coming to Jesus, and he wanted to, well, he knew that don't cast us in the swans. But, Lord, he knew Jesus, but yet, Lord, we have the enemy that come at us, and we don't know. Jesus was powerful, but yet we don't know. When the enemy come at us, Father, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us warning. Help us to know you. Father, we pray for each and everyone on this prayer line. Lord, don't allow stumbling blocks to be in our way. But, Lord, Father, allow the Holy Spirit to show us and give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, Father, that we can be protected and we can call upon the name of Jesus because we know he will save us. And also, Father, I lift up Brother Akeem that will be coming to minister to us tonight, Father. I pray that you be seen, not him, Lord, but your word be highlighted on this prayer line and pierce every heart and that we can understand what he's saying because, Lord, this message that you give to us today, this message is for everyone. And the Bible says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, because you don't want no one to take the mark of the beast. Lord, you want all of us to receive your commandments and be safe in the ark of God. Oh, Father, bless us and keep us tonight, Lord, as we are listening on this prayer line. I lift up all of my brothers and sisters collectively, Father, and all the prayers as Sister Carla and Sister Valerie, Sister Power, everybody that prayed tonight. Lord, we in agreement, and the Bible said that we have to come together and on one accord. So we are on one accord, Father,
And we pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding on this prayer line. And now, Lord, I lift up Sister Phyllis, Lord, as she will bring us a song, Lord. Father, I pray that you be with her voice and lead her in this song. I'm asking for the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of God, working her with your Holy Spirit, teaching her and giving her wisdom and understanding. Father, we thank you. Bless us and keep us tonight, Lord, as the Holy Spirit work in us to do what you asked us to do, your righteousness, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers. Let's see if Sister Phyllis is here with us right now, and she will offer a song. Amen. She's here. So let us open our line right quick. And Brother Akeem, Sister Phyllis, Brother Akeem is on, but we're going to allow you to sing this song. This is Sister Phyllis, brothers and sisters, and she will give us a song at this moment. Okay, Sister Phyllis, your line is open, and you can tell us where you're calling from.
Being here tonight, praying with all of y'all, and y'all pray for me, and we pray for everybody in the name of Jesus. And I pray for Mary Woods and her sister and all of y'all in Jesus' name. Now I'm gonna give you a song. I'm gonna give you a song. I don't know if I sung this last week or not, but I'm gonna sing it again. That's what keeps dwelling on my mind. Be sweet, I know. Be sweet, I know. The clouds may rise and the strong winds may blow. You know I tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior. And he's sweet, I know. I can't forget when I was sad, my head hanging down, and my soul feeling bad. You know, I tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. So clouds may rise and the strong winds may blow. You know I tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior. And he's sweet, I know.
Y'all, I'll be trying to sing, but I don't know how to sing. You ought to hear my daughter sing. But thank the Lord I can sing this song and let everybody hear it in the name of Jesus. I love y'all, and y'all pray for me, and I'm praying for y'all, and I'm going to be on the phone listening to the end. Hey, Mary Woods.
Amen. 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 We want to thank Sister Phyllis for coming on and singing that song. Yes, he's sweet, I know. And then you're supposed to tell it all over the world. So, brothers and sisters, we got a powerful message for tonight. And that was a good choice of song to bring in this message. So please stand by and hear this message. Amen. We're going to open the line for our brother, our pastor, Brother
Pastor Akeem James 301. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, and glad to be with you all this evening, and praise the Lord for the song that was sung before, and for the prayers that were extended or were uplifted to the Lord on the behalf of others, on my behalf, and for the cause of God. And so as we go into our subject this evening, just to do a recap, we found out, according to Revelation chapter 10, that this was a depiction of the Millerite experience, the Millerite movement, William Miller being called in the context of the second great American awakening, or the second great awakening, not just in America, but in other parts of the earth, in Europe and in other parts of the world, as the message was spreading, and not just the message spreading, but people were beginning to understand the prophecies, because it was predicted in the book of Daniel that the prophecies would begin to open up to the minds of the people from 1798, which is the date, the starting point of the time of the end, onward. And so as a result, people were going deeper in the books of Daniel and Revelation, gaining a deeper understanding of it. The result was that there was this Baptist farmer, actually a man who was a deist at first, grew up in a Christian home, but ultimately became a deist until he went to the War of 1812. And in that war, as bullets flew past his head, almost killing him. And not only that, not only him escaping, but then his friends, some of those who were dear to him, dying in that war, and realizing that he had survived, he began to realize that it was an act of divine providence, that God had spared his life. And so he went from being a deist, which is a view that holds God to be impersonal. God is a clockmaker. He makes the world and then he steps away from it and lets it just spin and goes, life goes as it will, to finally believing that God is intimately and intricately involved in the details of our lives. And so as he began to see this, he started coming back. He started giving the word of God more of a chance. And he started from the book of Genesis, started going through to the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And if there was any text that he did not understand, he began to take that text and look at other parts of the Bible with his Strong's Concordance. And as he compared text with text, he began to find the answers to the questions that he had, realizing that Scripture was its own interpreter. And so in light of finding this out now, it began to change his whole view of the Bible. And as he stated later on, the Bible had become to him a friend. Jesus, he also said, had become the Savior that the Word reveals, had become to him a friend like no other. And so as these things began to happen, friends, he ultimately came across the truth that unto 2,300 days, which is 2,300 years, and the sanctuary shall be cleansed. He began to realize that this time period of the 2,300-year prophecy would start in 457 B.C. with the announcement and decree from Artaxerxes Longimanus, the king of Medo-Persia. He made a decree allowing the Jews to go back and to have full autonomy, setting up its laws, setting up its walls, setting up its judicial system. They began to realize the year for that was 457 B.C., approximately just over 400 years before Christ. And so as he came and he started realizing, he came to this point in Scripture in the book of Daniel and began to realize this, he began to see that, wow, the popular view at that time was that the sanctuary was the world. And so he started realizing that the world would be cleansed by fire. Did not realize that the sanctuary was in heaven and that there was a sanctuary in heaven to be cleansed. And so what did he do? He was right in that there was a judgment that was about to begin, but his understanding of the judgment was not clear. But he began to proclaim this truth that the judgment hour is here and that the judgment hour is coming. And that man's name was William Miller. William Miller, an entire movement started off that impacted the entire North America, and other men began to come to that very same point around the same date, realizing that some momentous event was about to happen in 1844 as they studied the 2300 years, some of them never meeting William Miller. But an entire movement called, a form that was called the Millerite Movement. This movement's experience is depicted, is shown in Revelation chapter 10. And this is what we saw last week, that as it went forth, they began to go forth saying that if the world is to be cleansed by fire, that means Jesus is coming back to cleanse the world by fire. So they began to go forth proclaiming the truth concerning the second coming. But as concerning the timing of the second coming, they may have been off, they were off, but concerning the date, they were right. So they began to go forth proclaiming the judgment time is coming, the day of Christ is coming. And as they began to go forth proclaiming the truths of God's word, many received the message. Many began to sell lands and houses, property that they owned, so that they could be ready. Nothing would hold them back from being prepared. None of this world's goods would hold them back from being prepared for the return of the Messiah. So friends, as this took place, the day came. It was sweet in their mouths as honey. It was sweet in their mouth as honey as they were proclaiming the message, as they were experiencing miracles. Even as people died, men like Charles Fitch, another one of the Millerites, accepted the message, began to go forth proclaiming it. And as he went forth proclaiming it, there came a point at a certain winter just before the time of the disappointment. He was proclaiming the message with power, and the result was that people just wanted to be baptized, even though it was in the rivers, the lakes. It didn't matter. They wanted to be baptized so that they could have everything ready for the second coming. And so people would come to Charles Fitch over and over and over again, all in the same few days. And they would say to him, "We want to be baptized. We have accepted the message of Miller. We have accepted it and seen that it is biblical, and we want to be baptized. Please, Brother Fitch." And so he would baptize them. As he was on his way to a certain place, another person would come to him and say, "I want to be baptized." He would go out into the cold river and the lakes again, baptize them. And then as they were baptized, other people will come. And as he was in that water for that long, friends, it ultimately gave him pneumonia and he died. But no worries, no problem, because Jesus was coming in just a few days. They would see Brother Fitch again. And so you can imagine it was sweet, that message. The soon coming of Jesus was sweet in their mouth. But when it did not happen, when the day came, and they were sure that they had gotten the date right, but the event was wrong, friends, they experienced a disappointment like nothing else that they had experienced before that time. Men rose up against them, and women rose up against them and mocked them for this proclamation that they gave. And now, you see, nothing has taken place. And so in light of this now, it was bitter in their stomach. The very message that was sweet in their mouth, once it had been digested, it was bitter in their stomach. And so we found out, okay, symbolizes the Millerite movement. But here's the thing. What would happen now? Revelation chapter 10 and verse 10 tells us, "And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Then notice what it goes on to say after that experience, the verse 10 depicting the experience of the disappointment. It then says in verse 11, "And he said," that is the angel said unto me, what? "You," and we found out that this angel is Christ, by the way. This is the angel that stood on the sea and on the earth. He says, "You must prophesy again." In other words, to that movement, that Millerite movement, God was telling the people in that movement, no, it does not end here. You were disappointed because there was a misunderstanding as it concerns the event. Go back again and study. and you will see that there is a sanctuary in heaven, that the sanctuary is not the earth, but it is in heaven, and that Christ has stepped into a new and final phase of ministry. Hence, as they began to go forth and study these things and realize the weeks following that there was a sanctuary, a literal sanctuary in heaven, they began to realize, whoa, this is where we were off. Now we can make sense of the disappointment. Hence what? They must prophesy again. They had to go forth again, now with more complete light, before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. In other words, Francis, this message is not just to go to the people, the common folk. It's not just to go to nations, the nations of the world and political systems of the earth and the languages of the world. It is to go before the great men of the earth, the kings, the rulers, the civil leaders. Hence, a movement was born. Because you see, there were a few thousand, over 50,000 people that were part of the Millerite movement. And many, this is why they call the great disappointment the great cleansing. Because the moment that that disappointment happened, those who were only in it because they were afraid, friends, once the date had come and gone, they left. It showed that their faith was shallow, that they were not really committed. And so as they left, the numbers dwindled until it came to approximately 50 people that continued to hold on to that truth, knowing that the date was right. We have come to the end of the 2300-year prophecy. And as they went back and they studied, that group of 50, they began to study. They kept going forth, God giving them more and more light, bringing them to the understanding that Christ had entered into the most holy place. And they began to realize in that most holy place, there is an Ark of the Covenant there. And that there was more light in that covenant that many had forgotten concerning the law of God and the mercy seat on top of it, which is a symbol of the grace of God. Jesus Christ himself and his and the gospel concerning him and his salvation. And so as they began to realize these things, more and more things began to dawn on them. And these things we will begin to see now as we move forward in Revelation 11. So as they rose up, this group of 50, as they continued to develop, friends, the result was more and more people began to come into this movement. And this is something I want to point out right after we say a prayer, now that we have done this recap. Father, I pray that you will give us wisdom and understanding as we continue in the study of your word. Guide us, Lord, and help us to assimilate these things into our minds and our hearts, that we may know that you have truly led us to where we are. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So now, in light of this, friends, as more and more people began to accept the messages of truth from this group of 50, the church began to grow. It began to grow until the time came when many among that ministry began to realize we have to now receive a name that causes us to stand in distinction, to help the people to realize the truths that have been given for this time. And they began to realize the things that they were seeing, whether it be the first, second, and third angel's message, whether it be the subject of the events leading up to the second coming of Christ, they began to realize everything focused around two major lights that had been revealed at that time. In the three angels' messages, in the final events, as it concerns Calvary, didn't matter what it was, two major things stuck out in all of those things. And that was the subject of the seven-day Sabbath. Because as they realized Jesus had moved into the final compartment of the heavenly sanctuary, the most holy place, in that most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant. And in that Ark is found not the only article, but the major article of the Ten Commandments. And as they saw that law there, they began to come to an understanding that the fourth commandment, along with the other nine, is still binding. And it points us actually to resting in Jesus. But how does it point us to that? By saying to us, calling us, just as it has called every other generation, to keep the Sabbath holy literally, as a sign, to rest literally as a sign that we are resting in Jesus spiritually. Hence, at the end of every week, they realized that Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, the Sabbath was to be kept. And so they began to keep the Sabbath. But not only this, friends, they began to realize Christ is still coming. But they had a misunderstanding of the event, not the date. And so in light of this, the second part of the name focuses upon the fact of the second advent. Hence, the name that was given. Friends, as we read inspiration, we come to the realization that that name was given by God. It is the name Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day Adventist. The more and more people began to unite with the group of 50, it's the same thing as it concerns the more and more people began to join the New Testament church in the days of the apostles. The more and more people accepted the message and began to join, the more structure was necessary. The more there was a need to organize. Friends, that's where it comes from. There are many today who are against, even those who seek to call themselves Seventh-day Adventists, seek to hold that name, yet bash the organization. And it is not that the organization is perfect, but this was prophesied. And in light of that prophesying, we were told to stay with the organization, friends. That though the church may seem as though it is about to fall, it will make it through to the end. So regardless of the corruptions that have come in, it is still an organized movement that God has ordained from its inception. But many people, in their zeal, have walked away from the organization. They're not winning souls. Friends, it's powerful. Because some of them, as they even win souls and they have an influence, there are many ministries today that are in this group that I've mentioned. They're proclaiming the message. Many are looking at their messages. Many are coming. They're bashing the church. Many are receiving their message and taking on, by the way, the same spirit of bashing, which Ellen White condemns. And so as they do this now, watch this. As more and more people join that ministry, you know what they start realizing? What they will never come forth and admit? That they had to bring in more structure to make sure that certain things didn't go out of place. And so it's a sad reality when men and leaders in ministry desire not to be a part of the organization, yet exercise authority over others. Yet they hate being in a system of authority. They hate having to be answerable to someone. They hate having to be answerable to an entire worldwide denomination. And therein lies the contradiction of self-supporting churches that have gone against the counsels of God, gone against the organization, brings the issues within the organization before the world on social media, bashes them, so that now when it comes time for people to actually try to join and people to be won, of course many of them are not going to join. Because why would they join the same churches, the same church that you bashed, the same church that you brought the dirty laundry of it before the entire world, rather than seeking to address the issues still, but from within, and proclaiming, as we were told to proclaim, the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This is what we are to bring before the world, friends. We have so much to bring before the world than to exhaust our times bashing the denomination of God. We must address its corruptions, but there is a way that we must do it. So in light of this now, this is why I always say, friends, it is a good thing to have views. But as one preacher mentioned, regardless of these self-supporting churches and their ministries having views, Jesus never said you shall know them by their views. He says you shall know them by their fruit. And if the fruit that is being born are disciples that have the same condemning spirit. And friends, it is evil fruit. This is why we must be careful, friends. And God is working on all of us. I say that myself, knowing that I have areas in my life that I know God is working on. And God is continually seeking to cleanse me. But friends, we must have discernment to recognize that which is after the order of God and that which is after the order of the enemy. One drop of poison in an entire glass of distilled water and still mess somebody up and even kill them. So it doesn't matter how much truth these ministries may proclaim. If they're doing something that goes against the counsel we have been given, we must be careful. Now, in light of the formation of the church and the ultimate organization that was needed, we now go to verse 11, to chapter 11 and verse 1. It says in chapter 11 and verse 1, and there was given me a reed, that is a measuring stick, like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, so this is still the angel that we just read about in chapter 10, right? So Revelation chapter 11 and verse 1 should actually go with the rest of chapter 10. It says, and there was given me a reed, meaning a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, and measure the temple of God. This is now the movement that is forming from the great disappointment in context of chapter 10. All right, so we're still continuing from the context of the church that was formed from that group of 50. As the messages began to go forward from that group of 50 that were being discovered, many thousands began to join. And as they began to join, the church began to grow. It began to explode in the 1800s. And as this began to take place, friends, the angel now says, as this movement is now beginning to rise, arise and measure the temple of God. Now, you remember, the temple of God is a symbol for what? It's a symbol for the church. Contextually, it is the church that rose up and continued steadfastly to hold on to the truths that were discovered prior to the great disappointment and continued in that light to discover more light after the great disappointment. So the command is rise, measure this church and the altar and them that dwell or worship therein. In other words, this is powerful because the altar that we are now looking at, because where you remember, we're in the temple, right? This is not just the symbol of the church of God on earth, but you remember, this is what the group of 50 after the great disappointment, as they continue to study, you know what they came to the realization of? It says here, rise and measure the temple of God. Now, it's true. The temple of God is the church. That's true. But friends, they began to realize that there is a temple of God in heaven. So what this text is referring to, more than even the church on earth, it was a call to the Advent believers now following the great disappointment, that group of 50 that began to grow with the light that they had begun to experience. They began to see that there is a sanctuary in heaven, a temple in heaven where God dwells. And so they began to realize, whoa, we have to study this out. And not by coincidence, that word reed there is the word, it's a measuring stick, but it's also the word canon. In other words, it was a call to go back to the canon, that is, the measuring stick of Scripture, to understand the subject of the temple of God in heaven. The sanctuary in heaven now had come to light. Because you remember, leading up to the great disappointment, the belief was, the popular belief was that the sanctuary was the earth, and that sanctuary was going to be cleansed by the second coming. What they didn't realize was, no, the sanctuary is in heaven. There's a temple of God in heaven that we need to understand. And they began to understand it after the disappointment. As they began to study this, friends, and they began to go back to Scripture, where do you think they would go to understand the sanctuary in heaven? They can only go to the sanctuary that was on earth. The sanctuary that was laid out in the book of Exodus, its services in the book of Leviticus and continuing throughout the Old Testament. As they began to study the sanctuary service, this is how they were measuring the temple of God. As they began to study it, they began to realize, whoa, so just as there is a high priest in this earth that was in the earthly and inaugurated in the earthly sanctuary, so is there a high priest, Jesus. That high priest in the earthly sanctuary was only pointing forward to the Savior, who after his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension would become the high priest of the heavenly sanctuary, of a greater sanctuary that has always existed. Because even Moses, when he was commanded to make the sanctuary or to instruct the people to make it, you read in Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, God says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And then he says, Moses, you want to know how you're going to know how to make this sanctuary? I'm going to show you the pattern of the truth. So friends, Moses seeing the true sanctuary in heaven, having a vision of that sanctuary, was able then to instruct the people, the Israelites on earth, that God had blessed with gifts of artistry, being able to do carvings and moldings. He gave them that instruction to build the earthly sanctuary as a replica, a smaller replica of that which he had seen in glory, of the vision of the heavenly sanctuary. Friends, don't take my word for it. We'll actually read it. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8 and 9, it says here, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the what? The tabernacle. So and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So you're going to make the earthly replica after the pattern of an edifice that already exists. You're not just going to make this out of your mind. No, you're going to make this. I'm going to show you something that will be imprinted on your mind. So when you instruct the people that I will ordain to make the sanctuary, you can instruct them after the pattern that I imprinted on your mind. And where's that pattern? That pattern was in heaven, friends. It was a revelation of the heavenly sanctuary. And so as we look at this now, we go to the book of Hebrews, which brings this point out even more. All right? We're going to bring this out in Hebrews chapter, I'll start off with Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. In other words, all that I've told you from Hebrews 1 to Hebrews chapter 7, this is the summation of it. We have such an high priest. And friends, you look back and you realize Paul talked to them and he continued to speak to them of the Old Testament sanctuary service with the priest and its sacrifices. It says, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. But where in the heavens? It says in verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary. And of the what? Just as God had told Moses, of the true tabernacle. You see, it says, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hence, it's called the temple of God, because God organized it and set it up. So friends, what we're coming to the realization here, and actually before I even go on, then he references what we just read in Exodus. He says, for every priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man, that is Christ, have somewhat also to offer. And Christ offered what? Himself, the Lamb. Himself, the high priest. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. There are already priests here. So it has to mean that Christ was the high priest of a greater sanctuary. And speaking, continuing to speak, it says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to what? The pattern showed thee in the mount. So do you see that? In other words, the pattern shown him in the mount wasn't just articles. It wasn't just God was bringing up articles before him. No, friends. God showed Moses, according to what we're reading here in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, God was showing Moses a picture of the heavenly sanctuary. And he was supposed to have the people make the earthly after the heavenly pattern that already existed, but had not yet been activated. The heavenly sanctuary, the earthly sanctuary, was to point forward to the work that Christ would do, but it was not activated until Christ ascended. When he ascended on high, that is when the work that was to be done in the heavenly sanctuary, which we can understand from the earthly sanctuary, was finally activated. And so in light of this, goes on to say in chapter 9, in verse 1, it says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was," and this is in reference, notice Paul says the tabernacle, but when he begins to describe the articles, you begin to realize, oh, he's talking about the holy place, because it says, "For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is also called" what? The sanctuary. So do you see that? So the sanctuary had three aspects, two compartments. The three aspects were, one, when you entered in, so there was a curtain surrounded, a curtain of white surrounding the edifice of the sanctuary. Once you entered in from the front of the sanctuary, not yet in it, you would enter into a domain called the courtyard. And the courtyard was the articles of the altar of burnt offering. That is where the sinner brought his sacrifice to be burned up, to be slaughtered and burned up by the priest. Or they would slaughter the sacrifice, and the priest would take the fat of the sacrifice and burn it up. A symbol of the coming sacrifice of Christ as the lamb that would be slain for our iniquities. And then that priest was to go into the holy place. But before he went in, he had to go before the laver of washing. That is a bowl of water that was upheld by a structure. The priest would put his hands in that water, purify himself, and then he would take the blood from the sacrifice that was given at the altar of burnt offerings into the sanctuary. And what was the sanctuary? Part of the sanctuary was the holy place, where there were three major articles. It was the table of showbread, the candlesticks, and the altar of incense. And then once a year, the priest was to go into the most holy place. It says in verse 3, referencing the most holy, it says, "And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all." Do you see that? That's the most holy place. "Which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid with round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna." So we see that the article in the most holy place was not just the law of God. It wasn't just the ark of the covenant. But it says here, "The golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant," that is the Ten Commandments, "and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly." So we're seeing that as we look at this, we're realizing, whoa, so we're seeing that there are two compartments to the sanctuary. When Christ ascended, he left the place where he had died, symbolized in the courtyard, where the sacrifice was given. But when he ascended, after the earthly pattern, he would enter into the holy place, which is also called the sanctuary, because it was a part of the overall sanctuary. And then finally, in 1844, he transitioned to the most holy place. This is what they began to realize. He went beyond the second veil in 1844. Now to stand in the antitypical, because that was the time when the priest went into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. To not just have Israel's sins forgiven, but to blot out the sins of Israel. Friends, that time is coming. There's coming a time, friends, when the close of probation takes place, that, friends, the sins of Israel would have been blotted out. The sins of God's Israel, by the way. God's Israel would have been blotted out. That is all those who have received Jesus Christ. And at the very end of the end, not just those who have received him, but those who have received the truths for the final days of Earth's history. So in light of this now, we go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 11 and verse 1, and therefore it now makes sense. And there was given me a reed, a measuring rod, a canon, that is the Bible, like unto a rod. And the angel, that is Jesus, the one who stood on the earth and on the sea, stood saying, rise. That is, yes, to John, in a literal sense, in vision, but more so the one that John represented. That is the movement that was born after the great disappointment. Rise up, take the word of God, and study it to have a clearer understanding of the sanctuary, the temple of God. Hence, they came to an understanding that the sanctuary was in heaven, it wasn't earth. But don't just measure the temple. But as you measure the temple, measure the altar. That is the altar of incense, right? Because the context here is that Jesus is in the holy place. He's in the most holy place. Only altar between the holy and the most holy was not the altar of burnt offering. The only altar between the holy and the most holy that Christ was transitioning from to the other is the altar of incense, which, if you go back to Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, represents the following. It says here, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And this is talking about the altar of incense. And there was given unto him much incense, now watch this, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar. Remember, the altar in the courtyard was made of brass. This altar, however, was made of gold. Not by coincidence, the altar of incense between the holy and the most holy was made of gold. Hence, this is a reference to the golden altar of incense. But notice, it says that he should offer it, that's the incense, with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And that gives us the understanding of what the Ark of the Covenant really can be symbolized as at times in Scripture. Because the Ark of the Covenant was where God dwelt. It was where the Shekinah glory was, a symbol of the greater throne room of God, hence the angel on either side. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that God dwells between the cherubim. So hence when it says the throne here, it is a reference on in the sanctuary, in on earth, it would be a reference to the throne where the Shekinah glory rested, using the ark and the mercy seat as a throne. But in heaven, it's a symbol pointing forward to the greater throne of God, which the golden altar literally in the heavenly sanctuary stands before. But here's what we're realizing. The golden altar of incense, what does it symbolize? According to Revelation 8:3, it is connected to the prayers of the saints. So when we read in Revelation chapter 11 the following, I want you, John, or I want you, movement that was disappointed as you go forward to make sense of your disappointment, I want you to rise and study, that is, measure the sanctuary in heaven. I don't only want you to measure the sanctuary in heaven, in other words, come to an understanding of its services and how it relates to the work of Christ throughout history, but I also want you to measure the altar. That is, measure, and this call is still being made to us today, friends. We are still being called to study the sanctuary even more deeply. But it's not just to study the sanctuary. It is to study our prayer life and the power of prayer. That's why it says study the altar. That is the golden altar of incense coming between the holy and the most holy place. God wants us to study our prayer life, friends, and the power of prayer. For revival, we are told, only comes in answer to fervent prayer. Are we spending time in prayer before God? Are we lifting up our voices to him as the pioneers once did, as they were thirsting and hungering for more light? Not that contradicted the former light, but that was in harmony with that which they had discovered already. Friends, are we measuring our prayer life? But not only that, it says, and not only measure the sanctuary and its services, not only measure your prayer life, that you might receive more, pray and receive more light, but measure your own lives. For it says, and them that worship therein. And so, friends, they were being called to examine their characters. Hence, as we close, we read this and we'll finish these statements next week or next time I'm on. It says, the grand judgment is taking place. So in light of Jesus entering into this final compartment, it is stated, the grand judgment is taking place and has been going on for some time. Now the Lord says, measure the temple and the worshipers therein, thereof. And listen to how she explains what that means. Remember, when you are walking the streets about your business, God is measuring you. When you are attending your household duties, when you engage in conversation, God is measuring you. Remember that your words and actions are being daguerreotyped, that is, photographed, in the books of heaven, as the face is reproduced by the artist on the polished plate. Here is the work going on, measuring the temple and its worshipers to see who will stand in the last day. Friends, as they went forth from the great disappointment following this truth, God began to give them more light as they began to measure their prayer lives. He began to bring people more and more into harmony with himself, transforming their lives as they discovered these powerful truths, which has laid the foundation for all of this powerful light that we have today. Oh, friends, what a powerful thing it is to study our history, to realize how we got here. If we forget how we got here, this is why so many people are being led astray. So many people are leaving the Seventh-day Adventist movement because they have not yet studied the history of the movement and how God brought us to the point that we are. Many, because of fanatical views and ideas, friends, many are disassociating themselves from this movement. But if we study, we will understand why God has brought us into this movement, why he wants us to stay. With that, let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that these things make sense. And I pray, oh God, that, Lord, you will help us to grow deeper in our faith, regardless of what comes against us, regardless of whether we are able to answer a question at a certain moment or not. Help us to go back to study, to show ourselves approved, to understand our history, and how through painstaking effort and surrender, our pioneers came to the understanding of the truths that we now possess. And Lord, the progressive nature of that truth to continue to unfold as time goes forward. Thank you, Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, brother, and bringing us such a clear word. And I like what you just said. God is measuring our life. We got to take it serious. So, brothers and sisters, as we all have heard, all I can think, all I can see is looking at Revelation, as I was reading earlier, but I'm looking at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Brothers and sisters, we are the church. The building is just a building we go to, but we the church. So the Spirit is talking to us. So as Brother Akeem prayed, let me just close out with this little prayer. Heavenly Father, Brother Akeem has brought a message, Lord. And Lord, we've heard it. But Father, we can hear it. But Lord, let not our heart be hardened, but allow us to focus, allow us to look at these scriptures again and what we heard. Father, we are children, Lord.
we have quick forgetful and don't remember what you have said. But, Father, let this stay upon our heart and our mind that we would, as Brother, he was saying, that God measure our prayers. Heavenly Father, have mercy. The prayers that we are praying are not our outward prayer, our prayer, but our closet prayer, private prayer. So, Father, this night, as we have heard your word, forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And, Lord, as I was reading in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, it says, God will not blot out the name of the children that's written in the book, but those that's not written in the book, Father, have mercy. Sisters and brothers, let us hold fast to our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom interceding for us. He wants to save us. Oh, Father, thank you tonight for this word. Thank you for Brother Akeem bringing us this message. Bless each and every one of my sisters as we go to sleep tonight. And, Lord, keep us. And, Lord, I'm asking you to keep this on our mind, reminding us to do what we need to do. And as you measure, let the measurement of our prayer be as Christ, be as Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times. Lord, it's not a number to prayer because we can walk and pray. We can drive. We can be praying while we're driving. So, Lord, let us be on our prayer, sending up to Christ, and may he intercede for us accordingly. So thank you once again, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us tonight. May God bless all the ones on the station from far over countries, all other countries, the Netherlands, Japan, all these other countries. God bless you guys. And I'm just asking the Lord to continue to be with them also. So, brothers and sisters, you all have a good night, and God bless. I'm just going to close out with a scripture song, and this scripture song is just wait upon the Lord.
Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint. We need